Hang on to that. Let's hear the word of God here.
Hallelujah.
Okay, one more song. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard. But to hear what you would say, word of God speak, would you pour down my grave, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay in your holiness. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest your holiness, word of God God, we just want to hear from you today. Thank you, Lord, that you bring us here, that we can sit at your feet for a little while and know that we are accepted in your sight. Lord, fill us with your word. Fill us with your spirit this morning. Bless Stan as he brings the word, Lord God. Thank you so much for what you're going to do in this place. We give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
The word of God speak. Wasn't that nice? That, well, you guys did a great job this morning. Yeah, all glory to God, right? But that God would speak to us here this morning, that we would be quiet before him and let him speak, and that we would humble ourselves before him, and Let him speak. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and move in this place, Lord. Come and have your way among us, God. This is a good place to be this morning. Oh, this is good. We've got the baptism tub here. It could be baptism day. Lynn asked, "Oh, is it baptism day?" Well, it could be. If God is leading you in that, March 13th is a good day to be baptized. March 13th, 2016 is a good day to surrender yourself. Surrender yourself before the Lord God Almighty. So that will, let's stand, speak on that more. I love this. I've said it before. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. I love it. Philippians chapter 2:13. Let us hold, and listen to this, listen to what God says in another place in Hebrews. Let us, make sure I got the right spot here. Yep. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not be in the habit. So we've come to know Jesus as our Savior. And or some of us have. Anyways, maybe you haven't yet, and that's fine. You're in the right spot. You're in the right place. If you do not have a Bible, if you do not have in your possession the Word of God, and you would like a free one this morning, here and now, put up your hand, and Doug will get you one right now. Would anybody like their own Bible? No, Alvin, if you've got one already, you can't have another one. Smarten up. But seriously, put up your hand if you would like a free Bible this morning. Anybody else? Very cool. And if you're too shy to put up your hand right now, you can get one later. It's all good. Having the Word of God is life-changing. And the guy who's holding the mic and yapping right now has been changed because of the Word of God. Some guy gave me one of those. And I have no idea who he is, because that was years ago, but man, am I ever glad he did. Yeah, so now that, and then on that Bible idea, and on the idea of coming together and not getting in the habit of not meeting together, there are a number of Bible studies that go on throughout the week. If you're not connected with one of those and you would like to be, it's great to have the Word of God, but then to meet with other people and discuss it and ask questions about it and find answers for what's going on in your life, hooking up with others that love God and study the Bible is a real good thing. So Thursday nights, there's a Bible study here at 7 o'clock. That's for everybody, boys and girls, Thursday night. There's Tuesday morning, there's a Bible study at Lazarus House. Where's Alvin? Alvin's way over there. If you want to hook up with Alvin for the Bible study Tuesday morning, Wednesday and Friday morning over at the kitchen, right after breakfast over at the kitchen, there's Wednesday morning, Friday morning, there's a Bible study going on there, okay? Tuesday evening, this one's for the girls only. Crystal Schalk leads that one, but she's helping out with the kids in Sunday school right now. So, hey? Yeah, that's right, it's at Convent House. So that's for the girls, Tuesday evening. Wednesday night, where's Joyce? Joyce, stand up. There's Wednesday night, there's one at Joyce's house, so if you'd like to go to that one, talk to Joyce. She'll tell you how to get there. So, get connected with one of those if you're not already. So, a couple of things coming up. Worship practice is going to be Thursday nights, and so join us for that if you're leaning towards helping out with worship. Thursday nights, that got shifted to Thursday nights here. Stony Plain, the guys, boys and girls from Stony Plain are going to be here next Sunday. They have a prophecy ministry, and they've been here a number of times already. They're pretty cool. It's a great time to come here because they just heap the prayer on us. Oh, they do. They just pummel us with prayer. It's great. Yeah, they do this. Yeah, they got some funky fire channel thing, whatever. It's good. So anyways, they're going to hear it next Sunday. Y'all want to come to that. And then there's a prayer retreat. Talk to Alvin again. Alvin's got wind of a prayer retreat coming up in April 24th. So I think that's it. Anything else that we need to be telling people about besides the Word of God? Anyway, some guy, you may have heard of him before. His name is Stan Schalk. He's going to be preaching here in a minute. Hey, Stan Schalk, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for drawing us to you. Thank you for working in our life that we would desire and do you, what you want for us, God. Thank you, God, for Stan, for his serving heart. Thank you, God, for the way you've worked in his life. Thank you for the way you've worked in all of our lives, God. I thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you're with us here this morning. Thank you for your presence, God, that you are moving here among us. Blessed be your name, God. Blessed be your holy name. All praise and honor, adoration, thankfulness be to you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. So, okay, he'll figure that out. Hey, welcome. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord and just to be able to worship God? And yeah, thank you, Jesus. Give him the praise, right? We come to glorify God, and I agree, the worship, you know, it's so good to worship. The worship breaks through some of the things that need to get broken through. It seems like sometimes during the week, I get this wall building up in my life. I don't know if you get that too. And it's got to get broken down. It's got to get chipped away. And boy, one of the ways that really works for me is through worship. You just got to worship and praise God. And there's a release. There's a release of what needs to happen. I'm encouraged by Don's story. He didn't tell it very well today, but someday we'll hear it better. But I know that he's a guy who got saved because someone gave him a Bible. Like he did say that part of it. I think it was a Gideon, right? You're one of the guys who got saved through that little Gideon Bible that got passed out when we were in grade 5 or 6 or whatever it was, and just reading the Bible and saying, is this true? You know, is this real? Is this God who he says he is? Are these Christians just crazy people? Or, you know, is there something truth? Is there truth to that? And I know that there are a few of you here today that are wondering the same thing. I say this often, that what we have as Christians isn't something that you can sell. So I got nothing to sell you today. Just to share it. Just to say, this is what Jesus, this is who he is, this is what he's done, and it's in his word. And the best thing that we can say to people is just read the Bible. If you want to know what truth is, read the Bible. It's very clear in the word of God that if you seek God, you'll find him. That's what it says. If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek him, you'll find him. You know, if you ask, it will be given. So we don't need to sell God. We don't need to twist anyone's arm. If you're not ready to give your life to the Lord, then don't do it. If God's not calling you, then just come back next week. You know, just keep searching. Keep seeking out God. But he is a God who calls, and he's real. God is real. His spirit lives in me. His spirit lives in you. And if you've been worshiping, you know that his spirit is in this place. He is the real God. He's got all the power. He's created everything. And he just, all he wants is he wants you to belong. He says, I just want you to come to me. And it isn't hard. All you need to do is repent of your sins and just turn to me. And I have my arms open to you. I just love you. A couple of weeks ago, we had the tank here and we baptized two people. And then we took the water out and I brought it back to my place again. And then one person or two people this week said, hey, I want to get baptized. And, you know, in the past, I'll be honest with you, in the past, I used to say to people, well, that's great. I'm glad you want to get baptized. And we're going to have, you know, when the river opens up and when the water is flowing, you know, we'll put you down and we're going to get baptized then. But I just was really convicted that that's, you know, that's just not right. If someone wants to get baptized, we're just going to keep filling up that tank. Maybe we got to just leave it there, Alvin, for a couple weeks, because who knows, right? Like, it gets to be kind of a pain to empty it and put it on the truck and haul it back again. Mick does this for me all the time. You bring it back here again, you fill up with water. Let's just leave it open. Leave it fill, I mean. Because if someone wants to be baptized, we should just baptize them. Because it's obedience. Because it's what God says in his word. If you want baptism, this baptism, this water, is the baptism of repentance. All right? That's the baptism of repentance. It's when you come to the point in your life where you say, I am sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done and the way I've lived and my attitude and all that kind of stuff. And I want that to be dead. We bury that old person, that old woman, that old man. We bury that person in the water, and you come up out of the water in new life, brand new life. Yeah, right? That's exciting. So when somebody feels that call in their life and they say, I want to be baptized, I need to be baptized, we shouldn't be saying, well, we'll see you in a couple months, because who knows what happens in a couple months. We've also witnessed many times that when someone gets baptized, there's great power that goes with it. Travis, you were baptized a couple weeks ago. Good to see you here today. Doesn't mean it's all easy, but you have God in your life, right? You know that. You have Jesus in your heart. Your sins are gone. You've repented. The old man is dead. The new man is alive. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, that's, if you can't get excited about that, hallelujah. Praise God. So, Don is correct. And he said, when he said, you know, that I know of one person that's going to be baptized today, and we're going to do that a little later on. The only reason we do it at the end of the service is because I don't want to be wet through the whole service, so we're going to do it at the end. Eric is going to be baptized, but if, yeah, that's good. Encourage him. If there's anyone else, and maybe you've been thinking about this for a little while, maybe you just want to give that full commitment of your heart to Jesus and say, I need to get in there. I know that I'm not doing it because Pastor Stan's trying to sell something here. I'm only doing it because I know that God is laying this on my heart, and I want to be firmly committed to Jesus. I got one thing to say to you today. There is plenty of water in there, all right? When Eric comes up out of the water, there's going to be lots left. So you're welcome to join us at the end of the service. And if God is leading you in that direction and you're saying, I need to get baptized, then do it. And if the thing that's holding you back today is, but I'm going to be all wet. And I don't know what, I didn't bring any clothes, and I didn't bring a towel. I got one thing to say. Big deal. You know, so what? It's not 40 below. I'll drive you home afterwards. Like, we can deal with this. I have a towel, if you need a towel. And if those sorts of things are stopping you, then you're probably not ready. Truthfully, you're probably not ready yet. If you don't want to get wet and you're afraid that, you know, you might look funny with all the wet clothing, you're probably not ready. But if you want to get wet and you don't care about what you look like or that you might get a little chilled for a bit, and God's calling you to do this, then the invitation is there. Got it? Let's pray about that. Lord, we're just so grateful that you are among us, that we can worship you. Thank you, God, for your word, and we pray that your word will speak today. We pray that your spirit would move and just direct us. Some of us are just seeking you, God, and we want to hear from you. You say that if we seek you, we'll find you with all of our hearts. So we pray for that today. You are the God who reveals himself. You make yourself known. I know, God, that there are some people here today. They've been seeking you. They've been wondering about you. They want to know you better. And I'm so excited about that because I know that you're the God who reveals yourself. You will continue to show that you are the one true God and that you love every single one of us. I'm thankful for that, God. Grateful for this body of believers. Grateful for these friends and this community today. Thank you, Lord, that we walk this walk together, that we're on a road that you put us on and that we encourage and that we love and we help each other. Thank you for that, God. I pray that today, we pray today that your spirit will lead us, that you will show us what your agenda is, what your plan is for us today as we worship you. That our eyes would be open to see that you are the living God. That our hearts would rejoice because you are the resurrected Lord. You're alive. They couldn't keep you. They couldn't keep you in the grave. That you rose from the dead and that you're alive and that you live in us. Thank you today that hope has a name. That peace has a name. That joy has a name. That love has a name. And that that name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we just ask you, God, to have your way here. Do what you want to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You say amen? Okay, Eric, you want to come up a minute? I just wanted Eric to share a little bit about his story. And we were going to baptize him later, but this might give you, maybe there's one or two here, others who want to get baptized, but this gives a beginning for it, okay?
I'm ready.
Yeah, he's ready. See this?
For a little while. But if the good Lord can save me, he can save anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to start off here with a few words that were impressed upon me the other day, and I didn't know why, but now I know. Lordy, Lordy, it's hard being the wrong side of 40. For the innocence of youth, I'd care just for the chance to have that hair. But then, my God, I remember the road there brought me to you. And I praise you, Father, and your perfect Son, too. It's by his blood. I might want to put these on so I can read. There we go. It's by his blood. Okay. It's by his blood and your amazing grace. I know someday I'll see his face. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Let me sing your praises with the heavenly host. As Paul on the road was struck with blindness, so was I before I knew your loving kindness. With the help of fellow believers, he felt his way. And so the brethren did, so I can hear you every day. My Father, I see your hand everywhere I look as I walk this land. When I converse with you, your response is true. I no longer fear growing older. Your words through me getting bolder. You revealed to me the road. Though bring me to you, my Lord. Before your face I will crawl, convicted of it all. But then I'm lifted to my feet. Sin and death have been beat. Amen. Their penalty has been paid by the sacrifice the Lamb has made. Amen.
Wow. Excellent.
Well, tell you a little bit about my journey. To being saved. I was born and raised Lutheran, educated in church schools. You know, went to Sunday school, learned the Bible, read it a couple times, forwards and back. Never really had it anywhere but up here. Didn't have it in my heart. Yeah. You know, got into being a nighttime pharmaceutical representative, otherwise known as a drug dealer. And kind of sort of came to the Lord halfway, kind of met him on the fence. You know, went straight and narrow for 30 years. Kind of fell off when my father passed, 4 years ago now. And got back into drugs even worse, even harder. And again, fell back into the same old habits of pharmaceutical representative. And it wasn't until I lost everything that I realized that you can't serve two masters.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen.
You can't serve money. You can't serve power. You can't serve women. You know, you can't serve your own fleshly desires and serve the Lord.
That's right.
And thanks to Alvin over there, who I thought was just some crotchety old Gus serving breakfast one morning.
Whoa.
But it was cold and yucky outside, and I had no place to go for the next hour and a half. You know, and didn't really want to be freezing my butt off outside. And he just happened to be holding a Bible study that morning.
That's right.
I was like, what the heck? Might as well stay warm, you know. You know, I can fake it. So what the heck? Sat down, started in the Bible. Actually, that night said a real prayer.
Amen.
You know, not some stupid little prayer, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. Because Lord knows I did enough of those. Some 16 years ago, I did that. And I got to know God was real, and still I denied him. You know, I mean, stupid little prayer like, Lord, protect me and my family on this trip. And he protected us, all right. Nothing happened right up until we returned back to the starting point. Got off the highway. Went to go under the overpass for the highway. And something said in my ear, stop. Stop now! I slammed on the brakes so hard, came to a smoking halt. My daughter, sleeping on the back seat, flew off, hit the backs of the front seats and onto the floor. My wife, at the time, smucked her forehead on the dash. And as that happened, a pickup truck, no lights or anything on. Now, mind you, it was dark at, you know, this is like 11, 12 o'clock at night. He was roaring off the highway from the opposite direction, doing probably 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Passes an inch in front of the bumper of the car. Right back up on and gone.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
It's like, I knew he was real then and there. It's like, exactly. Yeah, there's, I can't deny him, and yet I did.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, okay, you're there, Lord. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know. You know, I'm still basically a good man, you know. I'll still see you someday, you know. So what if I don't go to church? So what if I don't pray all the time? So what if my prayers really don't have any meaning? You know, Sundays I'll say a prayer. Maybe every couple of Sundays I might attend church. You know, I'll just keep doing the same old, you know, it's good enough. It ain't. It ain't. You know, good Lord told that to me after I met Alvin.
Yeah.
And after the good Lord took everything from me. I'm not even wearing my own clothes anymore.
Mm.
You know. But He gave me so much more in the Spirit.
That's right. Amen. That's
good. Know? He spoke to me the other day, mm-hmm. and he said, clear as a bell, minister to my flock and gather in my lost sheep. And suddenly my whole life, all 53 years of it, made sense. I know why everything happened, when it happened. You can't fill a cup that's already full. You can't be there for someone. You can't have empathy for someone. You can't truly minister to someone on their level unless you've been there, mm-hmm. unless you've done that, unless you got that T-shirt hanging up in the closet. You can't do it. I got that T-shirt and it's put away in the closet now. You know, clean and sober now.
That's
good. Going to treatment here another 6 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I got my mission.
Yep.
I'm bringing people to the Lord, leaving it in His hands,
Amen.
Ministering to the lost sheep. And He's been giving me gifts. He's been talking to me now. Some people may say, that makes me insane. I say, good Lord, why didn't you make me crazy years ago? You know, God, I love you. I see your hand everywhere I look.
Amen.
You know, He's even taken some health from me. But you know what? It's all for the best. I can walk down the street now. I can talk to somebody. Even with the brain injury from a beating I took a couple years back. I don't remember people's names. So that just gives me a chance to talk to them and witness to them over and over again until they get it.
That's good.
You know, I walk with a cane now. But it's all for a purpose. And good Lord, I know He gave me this cane for a reason. Now I know why. I walk with a cane. People are more apt to stop and talk for a minute if I say hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't just turn their head and walk away, you know, or pretend to ignore me.
Yep.
You know, I can say, good morning, blessed morning, how you doing? You know, walk up to total strangers, give them a hug, how's your day? You look a little down, what's going on?
That's good.
You know, I can look inside people now. I can see the spirit within them, whether it's light or dark. You know, and I can comfort those that are in trouble, because I've been there. I've done that. So I just praise you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I praise you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I praise you, your holy presence within me,
yeah.
and through me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Eric. Isn't that exciting? That's good. So, is there anyone else? Someone else you feel called to be baptized today and you want to just share a bit of your story? Appreciate what Eric had to say, and in a little bit we're going to get in the water. Anyone else? Otherwise you can think about it for a couple of minutes. I'm going to say a couple words from the scriptures, but I just want to make sure that's understood, that you are welcome to this. You're welcome for this. Thank you, God. All right. We'll just...
Reading from Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Just want us to spend a little bit of time as we get ready to come into the tank, thinking about Jesus, right? Thinking about what He did for us, what the cross is all about, thinking about how much He suffered, what Jesus had to go through to show His love for us and to take the penalty of my sin. And just for today, I'm going to focus just on one thing. I think sometimes we focus on way too many things and we don't actually get it sometimes. So just one thing, and that is that kiss of Judas. And I want to read that from Matthew 26, verse 47. Just listen, or if you have your Bibles, read along, or I think it's on the screen. While He was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." In Luke, he says, actually, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Matthew doesn't record that line, but that's what Luke tells us. And then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. And with that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen? It must happen in this way." At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Wow. I don't know if that hits you like it hits me. Just the despair and the, you know, you can hear it in Jesus' voice, the sadness. You can hear the despair and the anguish and the hard reality that Jesus knows that he's going to the cross. He knows that he's about to enter into the hardest thing that any man has ever entered in before. No one ever has or ever will go through what Jesus went through when he went to the cross. And there's anguish in his voice for all kinds of reasons. Remember that, you know, in the context of this passage, he was just in Gethsemane and he was praying, you know, all night long, and he was asking his best friends, the ones who had been surrounding him for 3 years, he's been asking them to pray with him. "Would you just pray with me? Can you just stay awake for just a little bit here, Mark and Doug and Don? Just stay with me and pray." And every time, it happens 3 times, right? Every time he goes back and there those guys are, his best friends, zonked out, sleeping, right? That's discouraging. Man, when you ask someone to just be there for me, "Will you be there for me? Can you just pray for me? Can you hold me up in prayer?" And they go, "You bet, we've got no problem with that," right? They fall asleep. They fall asleep. So, I mean, here Jesus is, and he's on the mount, and he's discouraged because his friends have shown such little faith and little friendship even, right? They've just been such bad friends. And here comes Judas with all the soldiers and all the people that have come to identify him. And here comes Judas. I want you just to think about this just for a little bit today, what that must have been like. And honestly, there's a hundred snapshots in the scripture of the cross and of leading to the cross and the suffering. This is only one of them. But we're going to just spend a little bit of time looking at that one snapshot, that one picture of Judas bending over to Jesus or leaning into Jesus and giving him a kiss, the kiss of friendship. I want you to think about what that picture must have been like for Jesus. What it must have been like to be kissed by a so-called friend and be betrayed, be identified by that betrayal. Isn't that something? Wow. And Jesus knows what's about to come. And maybe this is what makes it all the harder for him, because he knows that he's going to the cross. No one else really gets that at this time. But Jesus knows what's coming because he's God, because he's spoken with his Father. He's prayed with his Father all night long. And he knows that he's about to endure the hardest thing ever. He's going to be hung on the cross. And it isn't really even just about the physical pain, which is what we focus on sometimes. But that's not even really the hard part. The hard part of all of this isn't really the physical pain. It is that he is bearing the sin of you and me. Of every one of us, he is carrying the weight of that sin on the cross. And he knows that this is about to happen. He knows that he's gonna be there. And you know how it is sometimes when you're going through a really hard time and you come up to a friend and the friend says to you, "You know what, it's gonna be all right." Or They say, I'll hold your hand through this. Well, for Jesus, that wasn't true. It's not going to be all right. You know, we say that to each other, and we say, well, God's in control, and he is. And we say to each other, you know, this, it's going to be all right. But for Jesus, this was not going to be all right. And nobody was going to hold his hand. Nobody. Even the Father wasn't going to hold his hand. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because literally, Jesus was on his own. He was left holding the bag of our sin. And there was nobody to encourage him. There's nobody to hold his hand and say, you know, it's going to be all right. You're going to get through this. Don't worry. Be strong. Nobody was there. He was absolutely, do you understand this? Absolutely, altogether lonely and by himself. There was nobody there. Nobody there to put his arm around his shoulder and say, you can do this, man. You can do this. No. He was completely, utterly alone. The solitude is the kind of solitude you and I have never experienced, because none of us in this room have ever been in a moment where God wasn't there. None of us have ever really truly been that alone. But Jesus, because the Father said it has to be this way, and I'm sure I wonder what that discussion must have been like, where Jesus said to the Father, are you going to be with me? Are you going to at least stand there with me? Are you going to at least hold my hand while I'm hanging on the cross? And the Father saying, no, I'm not. I can't. I need, yeah, the Father cannot look at that sin. You need to endure this all by yourself, because this is the only way that justice can be met, and that it's the only way for these people, for their sins to be forgiven. And to think about that, the very way that Jesus is identified on that hill that night is through a traitor's kiss. Wow. I wondered about that a lot this week, thinking, you know, why would Judas do it that way? Why identify Jesus by coming up to him and going, Master, Rabbi, why do that? Like, what's wrong? This is me thinking. What's wrong with the old pointing a finger from a distance going, well, that's Jesus over there. That guy over there sitting with a leather jacket, that's Jesus. You can go arrest him. Why does Judas go to the extent of coming up to Jesus and kissing him? What's wrong with the old way of doing things? You just point your finger and say, well, that's, see that tall guy? See the one with a beard? You know, see the guy with a WWJD thing on his wrist? That's Jesus. Right? What's wrong with identifying Jesus that way? And the reason is because it intensified the suffering of Jesus. And really, he identifies Jesus with that Judas kiss for us, not for anyone else. And so we know that this is who the Jesus is. This is the Son of Man. This is the Lamb of God. And he's going to be identified with a kiss. What happens? Here's the question that I have when I read this passage. What happens when the kiss becomes a weapon? What happens when the kiss becomes a weapon? When what should be a term of endearment, what should be just a wonderful way of expressing love and friendship, what happens when that becomes a weapon and is used against us in that kind of way, or is used against Jesus? It becomes an instrument of execution. You hear that? What happens when the expression of affection becomes the instrument of execution? Because that's what goes on here. Judas is pointing out Jesus with his lips. And wow, that must have been so incredibly difficult for Jesus. Because, you know, we know Judas as the traitor, but Judas was a friend. Judas was one of the inner circle. He was one of the 12. He was someone who had spent 3 years, right? 3 years with Jesus. Those same lips that kissed him that night, praised with him many, many times. Those same lips that kissed him that night, ate with him, sang with him, prayed with Jesus over and over, many, many times, right? Those same lips that kissed him that night and that betrayed him that night ate and sang and worshiped and prayed and many other times kissed him as a sign of friendship and a sign of love, right? But tonight, Judas is sending Jesus to the cross, using his kiss as a kiss of betrayal. And I wonder about you and me sometimes. I wonder if you've experienced anything even a little bit like that in your life. I know I have. Isn't that a hard thing? It's okay to ask that question, right? You ever been betrayed by a friend? You ever had a family member or someone that you're really close to, maybe your own kids or maybe your dad or your mom or someone who's just a really good friend? You ever had that person? Excuse me, my throat, and I got a little bit of cold here, but don't matter. We're going to go through here today. But you ever have that happen? You ever experienced that kiss? You ever have someone that you're really near to who lets you down and who betrays you and who turns their back on you, who says, in effect, I got nothing to do with you anymore, and they choose to go somewhere else. They sell you down the river. Have you ever had that before? It's not much fun. And here's the reality. The truth of it is the people that we are the closest to, maybe it's our own family, maybe it's someone you married, the people that we're the closest to have the ability to hurt us the most. You agree with that? You've experienced it. You know, the ones who can break my heart the worst, the ones who can leave me completely isolated and suffocating sometimes in sadness and in loneliness are the people that have been the closest to me. And that's what Jesus experienced. And some of you have experienced the same thing. We expect that people who are in our family or people who we're really close to will always love us and always be good to us. But it isn't always true, is it? That's not always true. And what happens is that we get close to people. We dream the same dreams. This is what was going on with Jesus and his disciples. They're dreaming the same dreams. They're eating meals together, and they're laughing together, and they're vulnerable with each other. Well, when you do that with people, those people can hurt you the worst. The cut is the deepest, right? The choking is the most suffocating when they turn their back on you. And I know that some of you know exactly what that's like. We expect that people that we love will always love us back. We expect that family, you know, you're always going to be family. They're always going to be faithful. They're always going to have my back. It isn't true, though, is it? Sometimes, this is what I'm trying to say, sometimes those people that we're the closest to can be the most disappointing in our lives. And that's where Jesus was. This wasn't just some random guy in the crowd who pointed at Jesus and said, you know, that's Jesus. You go and arrest him. This was one of Jesus' best friends. And for whatever reason, again, mostly it's for our benefit, for whatever the reason, Judas decided on that night to come up to Jesus and to point him out with a kiss of betrayal. With a kiss of betrayal. But now, let me tell you something else, if I can find my Bible, something else that we need to understand here, and that's just, you know what, when we get to the last, we read this whole story, and we've spent, as a church, and as, you know, theology, we spend a lot of time pointing our fingers at Judas, and we're talking about how bad he is, what a terrible friend, you know, he is the betrayer, and we got a lot of things to say about Judas, but I want you to read with me what it says in the last part. It says that after Jesus spoke, it says, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Do you hear that? Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And as a matter of fact, that includes me. That includes you, too. There isn't any one of us who are able to stand by him. We've all betrayed Jesus. We've all betrayed God one way or the other by the way we've lived, right? None of us, we have all fallen short of the mark. They all the disciples deserted him and fled. Do you have the Isaiah 53 on? Read these words with me. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The operative word here is the word all. In fact, you could read this, Isaiah 53, this way. We all like sheep have gone astray. We all have turned to our own way. And we all have had laid on us his iniquity. It's about all of us. And what it really, what God's word really is highlighting and saying to us today is that, you know what, we're all on the same boat here. If you think you're better than Judas, you're wrong. Every one of us has let God down. Every one of us has caused him to go to the cross by himself. Everyone. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Anyone disagree with that today? Anyone here want to stand up and say, well, no, maybe all the rest of you, but not me? Anyone? Good, I'm glad. So we have no liars here, at least. We've got to acknowledge this, right? We've all blown it. We're all sinners. Every one of us falls short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And Jesus died for us, even when we were sinners. While we were yet sinners, he didn't wait for us to be all better. He didn't wait for us to get on our knees. He didn't wait for us to repent. He says that while you were still sinners, he died for you, making it possible for you to have peace with God. You say amen. Can you clap about that? Just say thank you, Lord, for that. Is that not hope? And here's the really great news. I want to kind of end on this note. Sherry, you just stand up here a minute, okay? Just pretend that you're Peter. That after Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus spoke with Peter, the disciple, and you know, here's what he didn't say to Peter. Because, you know, Peter was one of those who fled as well. But even more than that, we read in the next chapter that not only did he flee and desert Jesus, but he also denied Jesus. But here's what Jesus doesn't say to Peter. He doesn't look Peter in the eye and say, Peter, guess what? I was going to build my church on you, this rock, but not anymore. No, I was going to build on this. I was going to make sure that you were a church planner and a church leader, but boy, you sure blew it. And I've forgiven you, but, right? There's no I've forgiven you, but when it comes to Jesus. In our speaking, in our lives, I got to tell you, there's a lot of this I've forgiven you, but talk. And it is not true forgiveness. Jesus said to Peter, even before he went to the cross, he said, Simon, Simon. And he calls him Simon because that's a name of weakness. He doesn't call him Peter the Rock. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Simon, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that when you return, you will strengthen the brothers. There was restoration. Do you understand that? There was restoration even before Simon fell. You will return, and you will strengthen the brothers. Amen? You sit. Yeah. Thank you, God. So with God, with Jesus, when he forgives you, there's no strings attached. He doesn't say, well, I forgive you, but, you know, not this and not that, and you got to sit in the back of church and, you know, just kind of live out your life and one day, you know, you can come, you'll make it into heaven, but I'm not going to restore you. That's just not the way that God works. God says, no, when I forgive you, what happens is I've covered you with all of my blood. You are essentially righteous. Actually righteous. There is no more sin on you. I don't remember what you've done. This is good news. Amen? It is such good news. So here's what God's word says to us today. It says that he's a God who loves us. And even though every single one of us are among those who fled and deserted him, every one of us is one of those, he has not left us alone. I want you to hear this today. You are not on your own. You might have left him. You might have turned your back on him. You might have hightailed it out of there. You know, feet don't fail me now, right? But he has never left you. You are not alone. He is with you. That he's such an amazing God. This is the greatest demonstration of his love for you, is that he doesn't say to you, you know, I got no real use for you anymore. Instead, he says to you, I want to be with you. There's nothing that matters more to me than that relationship that I have with you. And you will never be alone again. You hear me? You will never be alone again. Thank you. You should be excited about that. You will never be alone again. Yeah. And Chad, maybe you can get ready to put that song up. Don't put it up quite yet, but last Sunday we sang the song, I Am Not Alone, and I had a few people phone me throughout the week saying, you know, that was such a good song, and it just kept playing on my head, like, it was driving me crazy after a while, but it was such a good song, and it just reminded me of something I really needed to hear, that I don't do any of this by myself. I'm not alone. Jesus died on the cross so that you would never need to be alone again. And I want to mention that, and I want to just highlight that today before we play it. I want you to think about it as you hear these words. It's just worship. It's just worship, but it's the truth. You're not alone. You're not alone in your situation. I'm not alone in my situation. My Jesus is with me. Ricky, you're not alone. Even when you recover from this stroke, you are not alone. Your Jesus is with you, and he goes before you. You're not alone, Mick, as you take care of Naomi, as you deal with her and all the struggles that she has with being an invalid. You're not alone. There's someone who's with you every day, all the time. You're not alone. You are not alone. You're not alone on the streets. You don't have a place to live right now. You're not alone. You're not. Just hear me today that God's saying this to you. And Eric is saying it to you too. You're not alone. You know it. I know you know it. But you are not alone. I'm with you. Rob said it in the worship. He quoted Jesus, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Annie, you're not alone. You're not alone with the struggles with your family and your kids. And God's already healing and stitching and just reworking some of that. But he just says to you, and he looks you right in the eyes, and he says, Annie, I'm with you. I'm with you. And Gertie, with Emma, you're not alone. We grieve sometimes for our children and sometimes for our grandchildren. We grieve for those people who are close to us. We'd like things to be different. You're not alone. You have Jesus. He's with you. You ready to play that? I want you to hear this, and I'm just going to ask you today to let this soak in. I am not alone.
You're not alone. He is with you. He's holding you up. Even when you feel like you're alone, even when you feel like you may be doing this by yourself, you're not. Even when you're struggling with the addiction, you think I'm in this all by myself, you're not. Even when someone has betrayed you with a Judas kiss and it's someone that you really respected and loved and you shared your life with, you're not alone. He goes before you. God is with you. And that, my friends, is really good news. Amen? All right. Eric, you want to... Where's Eric? Yeah, it's okay. You come on up, and I want to just give the invitation one more time. If there's anyone here today other than Eric, or in addition to Eric, you want to be baptized, you want to make this decision, you want to make it clear that you belong to Jesus and that you repent of your sins, I want to invite you to come up right now. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready. God is here. Don, would you ask the kids and Crystal to come in? We want everyone to come in, and just going to ask everyone to come and stand around the tank because this is something we do together. We are not alone. We do this together. So I'm just going to take my shirt off a minute. God, my clothes are all coming off here.
whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise him up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above. For all that you've done for me. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
This is amazing grace.